ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة.
Muslim family.
Islamic family paradigm.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of the one who created from ourselves spouses with whom we may find peace and serenity. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to another episode of Muslim Family. This is Fatima Shamili speaking to you, inshallah, today along with my father and the respected expert of this program, Dr. Abbas Ali Shamili. We will hold a discussion which we hope, inshallah, will be interesting and beneficial to you, dear listeners. Dr. Shamili holds an MA in developmental psychology and a PhD in culture and values in education, both of them obtained from McGill University, Canada. He is at the moment a staff member of Al Mustafa International University and has had the experience of 12 years of counseling regarding family issues. And he has had more than 12 years of experience regarding counseling issues, especially on family affairs. Dr. Shamili, salamun alaikum and welcome to another discussion.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. At your service for new discussion.
Okay, so before anything else, I would like to have a review of what we talked about in the previous program so that we can freshen up our minds and the minds of our dear listeners. And then inshallah, we will continue with what we were talking about. So in the previous programs, two or three programs, we talked about how the responsibilities of families can be divided into five categories. One is economic needs, two is emotional needs, three is custodianship and management, four is education, five is security and coping with danger. We said that we want to answer this question and we want to have a new approach to child education. We want to answer this question that in which of these categories the mother has a core responsibility and in which does the father have a core responsibility. So I remember that we finished with the verse number 34 of chapter An-Nisa, which is actually somehow maybe controversial in the Islamic gatherings or among the scholars. And you explained that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has entrusted more responsibility upon the shoulder of the man. So if he has more authority and more power within the family, it is because of the fact that he is endowed with more responsibility. Okay, and also I remember that you made two separate categorization. You said that this can be interpreted in two ways, that generally men are more qualified to be the managers and the custodians of the family issues. And the second understanding which can be taken from this verse is that men are qualified in some aspects of family issues and women in some others, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we are now ready to hear your words.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bismillahir
Rahmanir Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. Thank you very much for your summing
You're
up
welcome.
Of the previous discussion. As you mentioned, custodianship and management stays with men, with husbands.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of economical issues, economical, financial affairs, according to my understanding, it is also divided into two parts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, financial issues inside house and financial economical issues outside house. When you talk about financial issues in the meaning that you're talking about money makers,
mm-hmm,
or breadwinners.
Right.
According to the Islamic instructions, this is the duty and responsibility of men, of husbands, of fathers. But with regard to financial issues inside house, you may ask me, so what remains? You know, the whole issue is making money, having income, bringing bread into house.
Mm-hmm.
When you have it, then you have it. No, it's not the issue. If you're not able to manage the inside internal affairs in a way that you will be a type of partner,
mm-hmm,
spouse. Spouse means colleague,
right,
helper, someone who is trying to divide to consume mm-hmm. what you have brought inside house in a way that you go till the last day of the month. Otherwise, in the middle of the month, you will face with shortcomings mm-hmm. and, you know, difficulties, problems. So in terms of inside affairs, women, wives, and females are considered Islamically as the managers. Why? Because the responsibility of men is to bring money, mm-hmm. to bring bread. But more important, how to consume it, how to use it, mm-hmm. how to utilize it. If you fail to manage your issues in a way, most of the time you'll go by problems and sometimes you'll go by bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. You fail. You face difficulties. So when you talk about economical, financial issues, you need to divide inside and outside, internal and external house. With regard to emotional...
I just have one question before you move to the next step. About the economic needs of the family, we all understand that men have the responsibility to work outside the home or to work however they know and to earn a halal living or halal money for their family. But I have the one question, and that is that, for example, let's say for issues like sadaqah or zakat or khums, and you know, the... having the concern of, for example, setting aside the due khums of your income or the due zakat, is that the responsibility? Because you said like the management of internal affairs is, or the money management of like the money spent in the families with the wife, right? So which one has the responsibility of keeping track of like their khums and zakat and all that?
Again, on the shoulder of men. Mm-hmm. But this is due to the reports of females, mm-hmm. of wives, because you provide reports with regard to what you have inside house about the rice, about the oil, mm-hmm. about the, you know, meals, you know, foods, whatever, you know, all types of sustenances
right.
that you keep inside the house. Who keeps records? Who keeps the statistics? This is
so is this
wives.
The duty of the women, or is this like a favor they're doing in their house?
No, it's not their duty. It's a duty of men.
It's a favor that they're doing.
Yeah.
Okay, what about sadaqah? You know, some wives, like, for example, let's say some men are not, they're not so religious, or they say, like, why should I give sadaqah to such person, and I need this money for my family, or they don't believe in the concept of almsgiving. And then the wife wants to give alms, and she doesn't have an income of her own. So would she be permitted to give sadaqah from the money that her husband brings in the house?
No.
Without telling him?
No, it's forbidden. It's haram. Because whenever you go by marriage contract, you will be the trustee of one another, mm-hmm. wives and husbands. They will be the trustee,
right.
Amin. So you are the trustee in terms of three main things.
Mm-hmm.
Your life, your modesty, and your money.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you want to give alms and to give sadaqah, you need to get permission from your husband. Unless... I forgot to mention, unless wives and females have their own incomes.
Mm-hmm. They can do what they want with it. So their
Even
money
the
is
management.
Their money, and their husband's money is also their money.
Exactly.
That's the general rule in
Islam.
We will, inshallah, go for a break, and then we will be right back with the continuation of our discussion. Please stay tuned.
Looking up at the sky, searching for Allah Most High. He rejected the way of worshipping gods of clay. Prophet Ibrahim knew that Allah was near, and that the heart of a Muslim is sincere. Under the hot burning sun, he declared God is one. though with stones on his chest, easy man would not rest. The Moathin knew that right will conquer wrong, and the heart of a Muslim must be strong.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is the second part of our discussion in today's Muslim family. We are talking about the responsibilities of families, which we divided into five categories. We were talking about economic needs, and we mentioned that it is the responsibility of the man to make sure that he brings halal money for his family. And then it is the not the responsibility, but it would obviously be a favor that a woman is doing for her house, to have a proper management of how this money is being spent. Dr. Shamli, I would just like to open parenthesis here and mention, as I love mentioning stories, mention something that I remember, which I think might be good for our dear listeners who are listening. I know of this lady who passed away, and inshallah, may her soul rest in peace. And she was a very generous lady. She was a religious lady, and she was married to someone who was not so religious. So the husband was a very generous man, and he would always come, like, buy a lot of things for their house, like buy sacks of rice and whatever he would buy like in big containers, and he would like the things to last mm-hmm. for a long time. And the wife, thinking that she would be generous and she would be good doing to her neighbors or to the poor people around her, she would offer from the money or from the goods that they had in their house to the neighbors without telling her husband. So, for example, she would say, oh, this neighbor is poor. Come, like, my husband won't find out. I'll give you some rice. I'll give you some oil.
No,
I'll give
forbidden.
You some this. So, yeah, exactly. We shouldn't think that, you know, like, oh, he doesn't understand. He's not generous. Or this is the attribute of the Muslims as mentioned in the Quran.
Yeah.
This is something good
even,
we should do.
Even.
So we have to have a balance even in doing good.
Yeah, even in giving alms and doing good, mm-hmm. okay, you have to follow the Islamic instructions.
Mm-hmm.
You have the borderlines.
Right.
So it's forbidden because it's not your property.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your wealth.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to give it from your own,
mm-hmm.
from your own pocket if you have.
Right.
If not, so stay silent unless you get permission.
Okay. So you were going to talk about emotional needs in the family.
Yeah.
Okay.
With regard to emotional needs, I forgot to mention one point before to come to mm-hmm. emotional needs. With regard to verse number 34 from chapter An-Nisa, women. As you mentioned, it's a very controversial verse, even among the Muslim scholars.
Mm-hmm.
They say, okay, what do you mean by Ar-Rijalu Qawwamuna 'ala An-Nisa? Men are located on the highest level of management and custodianship over
women.
So it provides a type of hegemony
mm-hmm.
and dictatorship. It's not the case.
A potential for dictatorship, let's say.
You know, it seems to be like this, but
mm-hmm.
it's not. If you go through the details, if you go through the interpretation of the verse, it's not the case. Why? Because qawwam comes from qa'ima. And qa'ima in the Arabic literature means pillar. Ar-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa. It means that men compared to women within the family are like what? Pillars.
The pillar.
So you hold the whole structure.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole burden comes on your shoulder.
Right.
It's not status. It's not a promotion. It's responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
It's a duty. It's a task. It's an obligation.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to go through, because the same literal usage is used for Kaaba. جَعْلَ اللَّهُ الْكَعْبَةَ الْبَيْتَ الْحَرَامَ قِيَامًا لِلنَّاسِ
Right.
So what do you mean by...
So like the man is the pillar. If we imagine a tent, the man is the pillar and the woman is the cover that actually comes on it and fixes the shortcomings and
so
makes it look nice.
It provides security and relaxation. And
right. Shelter.
And calmness. Yeah, it's shelter.
Dr. Shamli, I remember that last week when we were talking about Ar-Rijal Qawwamuna 'ala Nisa, I made a note to you that we should remember to talk about the issue of how Ar-Rijal Qawwamuna 'ala Nisa can be an ayah, which unfortunately some Muslim men, they take advantage of it. For example, regarding the issue of multiple marriages or temporary marriage, a lot of men say that, yeah, I am Qawwamuna 'ala Nisa, I'm the man, so I'm the custodian. And I decide what to do, and you are the woman, and you have to be obedient to what I tell you to do. And Islam has told me that I have every right to get married again. But I just wanted to ask you to, like, you know, just based on what you said, we said that the man is the pillar and the most responsibility is on his shoulder. So the fact that, yes, men have the right to get married again, or they can have up to 4 permanent marriages and as many as they want temporary marriages, this is all conditioned to?
To play the role of pillar. To play the role of establishment.
Mm-hmm.
Establishment and enforcement of the family structure. Otherwise, if you go by destroy,
right,
by damaging, you play an aggressive role, and in a very explicit way. It is not in need of any, you know, debate. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a very explicit way reveals, بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. When you have some upon other, it means that it's not absolute.
Mm-hmm. It's not a general rule.
It has always
exceptions.
This is first. And second, وَبِمَا أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. It explains in a very explicit, you are Qawwam, you are the, you know, holder.
Mm-hmm.
In which way? In the way that you spent more.
Mm-hmm.
The duty of sustenance is upon whom? Men.
So it's
the duty,
like,
of mahr is upon whom?
The man.
So bima anfaqu min amwalihim, at least 2 cases.
Mm-hmm.
Sustenance and mahr.
Mm-hmm.
Because they pay more, they need to take something.
Yeah, they
in
have
return.
More rights, right?
Exactly.
But exactly, like some
it
men,
go to,
they forget about this. Actually, this
exactly.
What do you say? Principle that it's the man's duty to earn money, but they say, yeah, it's the man's right to, for example, get married as many times as he wants. But they forget the fact that, okay, you can get married, but can you still manage for your first family, or are you going to put them in a state of poverty and sacrifice them for the sake of your new marriage or your wants?
If you by the second, then you damage the first one.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, managing, providing financial help.
Of course, we're
and
not saying
course,
that we're against marriage.
I'll come to that. You know, just I wanted to distinguish between 2 parts of the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Now we are talking about financial issues.
Okay.
I'll come to that.
Mm-hmm.
What is the Islamic instructions and paradigm
right.
with regard to
Multiple marriages.
I'll come to that.
Okay.
But don't mix it with this discussion.
Okay.
In a very explicit way. Mm-hmm. In an explicit way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals, بِمَا أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. You pay more, you spend more, then you want
you
and you wish
rights.
to get more. Okay?
Okay, so before we go to the emotional needs, I think it's time to go for a break. And then inshallah, we will be back and discuss emotional needs. Please stay tuned. Muslim family.
In a poor, meager state, little food on a plate. Mother said she was glad, always sharing what we had. When I asked how can we share what's not enough, she said the heart of a Muslim's filled with love. He said it's time you should know, you will learn as you grow. That some people around will do what's bad to bring you down. Father said to be a star that's shining bright. For the heart of a Muslim does what's right. It's the heart of a Muslim through the guidance of Islam. That makes you fair and kind and helpful to your fellow man. So living as a Muslim means that you must play a part. Allah looks not at how you look, but what is in your heart.
Dear brothers and sisters in faith, welcome to the third and final part of our discussion in today's Muslim family. We are talking about whether the wife or the husband has core responsibilities in the five category of responsibilities of the family. Before the break, we were talking about how in economic fields, it is the mere responsibility of the man to provide for his family a halal income. And then we wanted to move on to emotional needs. We are ready to listen to your words.
Okay, thank you very much. Sorry, before I switch to emotional, I need to add one more point.
Go on.
Nowadays, because of the new lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
new needs, new challenges, most of the time, many families claim, I don't know, it's a right claim or it's a, you know, debate.
Right.
I don't know. They claim that, you know, we have such and such expenditure and, you know, it's not enough for a family, for one single
person to work.
Person to work, and it's not able to afford all needs mm-hmm. and all, you know, gaps. To fill all the gaps. So it would be better for men and women, particularly when they are young,
to work together mm-hmm.
both of them. Okay, to the extent that they do not have child, I believe that it's nothing so serious,
mm-hmm.
so damaging, because this is an agreement. The duty of men is to bring money,
mm-hmm.
to win bread. But if you come to a new agreement, it's due to you.
Right.
You are free to come to a new agreement. But in many families that they have children and at the same time they work together.
Mm-hmm. So like a lot of cases nowadays.
So I believe that they are compromising the main responsibilities with the periphery one.
Mm-hmm.
They are just affording the periphery income on the cost of core responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
They are damaging it. The responsibility of winning bread stays on the shoulder of men.
The man. And you know, in these families, there's one argument that I think it's very universal between such families, that the mother and the father, they both work. They argue that we want to bring up the life quality, our life quality. Well, it depends on, we said in the previous program, it depends on what you define as life quality.
Exactly.
If it's money, if it's like more clothes and a better bed and a bigger house and I don't know, better
luxury life.
Yeah, exactly. More welfare, more seemingly outwardly welfare. Yes, that is right. If the mother and father, they both work together, they will have more of these. But if we are talking about a mother who is not tired and who is fresh and she can spend her time with her kids and take them out and go shopping with them and she can look fresh and she can take good care of herself, both emotionally and physically, then we are saying that life quality is actually higher if you spend less. For example, if you move to the suburbs, if you move a little out from the city, you travel for longer, the man travels for longer, but they have more money to spend and less rent to pay, you know, then I think it would be a possible solution.
Yeah, you know, to me, Islamically, it's a wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
We are exiting from the main road, from the expressway.
Yeah.
We are exiting because Islam says, الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم. That's it. If you're looking for an Islamic lifestyle, financial, economical issues stays on the shoulder of men.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you have the freedom, you have the choice
mm-hmm.
from the beginning of your marriage contract
to put
say,
conditions.
Okay, I come to you on the condition that I have the permission to work,
mm-hmm.
for example, women.
Or to live here, for example.
Okay, or to live here. So, this is due to them.
Yeah.
But if they want, if they like to go in according to what Islam advises, So it's the wrong way.
Yeah. Once I was listening to Radio Ma'arif, and there was a family program, and the discussion that they had was very interesting. So the expert of the program was arguing that, and he was saying that instead of living in small apartments, or as we call them, shoeboxes, we can move to the suburbs or the villages outside the city and live a more comfortable life. And we have to keep on telling our kids, don't run, sit down, don't shout, don't play, don't do this, don't do that, do your homework, and there's no sunlight, and all of these, refinements that we have. But why don't we move to, like, the suburbs? Why don't we move to the villages outside of the cities? And we live in bigger houses, like we can get a villa, we can buy our own villa, and we can have a yard, and the kids can run around, and we will even feel more free and less tense, always worrying like what the upstairs neighbor or what the downstairs neighbor will think. So this is really something that I think families should think about. I think that we are out of time, and this emotional need is going to stay for next time.
Okay.
We added so many points, but inshallah, I hope that they were interesting and beneficial to our dear listeners. Dear listeners, we continue talking about the verse number 34 of chapter An-Nisa, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ar-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa." And we said that this verse means that in economic issues, it is the mere responsibility of the man to provide for his family, but especially outside of the house. But regarding inside house issues and regarding management of the expenditure of the income, the woman has can play a managing role, which of course she does as a favor to the family. And you said that this qawwamiyya of the men, or this custodianship, comes by two means. First of all, because of the money that they spend. And second of all, that it's not a general rule. Sometimes it's not the fact that men are qawwam over women, and it's the opposite way around. I hope that inshallah our discussion proved to be interesting. If there's any comments that our dear listeners have or questions that may rise in their minds, thanks for joining Muslim Family. Until another episode, may the peace and blessings of Allah shower upon you all.
So whatever you do, make sure your words are true. Honesty is the best, because life is a test. Even if it hurts so much you want to cry, for the heart of a Muslim does not lie. It's the heart of a Muslim through the guidance of Islam that makes you fair and kind and helpful to your fellow man. So living as a Muslim means that you must play a part. Allah looks not at how you look, but what is in your heart. So living as a Muslim means that you must play a part. Allah looks not at how you look, but what is in your heart.